From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Looting is on the increase in Haiti, where people still without food and water after last week's earthquake are expressing anger and frustration as they try to meet their basic needs. More than 2,000 U.S. Marines are to land in Haiti today to help with the earthquake relief effort. The United Nations has asked for additional peacekeepers to help with security. NPR's Jackie Northam has more from Port-au-Prince.
U.S. Marines are expected to arrive in Port-au-Prince with heavy earth-moving equipment, helicopters, and medical supplies. They'll join more than 1,000 U.S. military already on the ground here in Haiti. U.S. forces will, in part, help provide security for the distribution of water, food, and medical aid. Lawlessness is increasing, particularly in the capital city. Under the rules of engagement, U.S. troops will not play a police role, but are allowed to defend themselves and any innocent Haitian or foreigner caught up in the violence. Relief supplies are slowly moving into Haiti, 1 week after the earthquake flattened many parts of the Caribbean nation, but not as fast as is needed. Search and rescue operations are still underway. Some victims from the quake are being pulled from under the rubble of collapsed buildings alive. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Port-au-Prince.
The outcome of today's special Senate election in Massachusetts is crucial to Democrats. Their 60-vote supermajority in the Senate is at stake. From Boston, Fred Tice of member station WBUR reports.
The race is close enough to have brought President Obama to Boston over the weekend for a last-minute rally for the Democratic candidate, Attorney General Martha Coakley. Monday, Coakley started running TV ads featuring the president's remarks. Massachusetts voters have not sent a Republican to the U.S. Senate since 1972. A month ago, few here would have predicted that the Republican candidate, State Senator Scott Brown, had a chance to win today's election. Brown has attracted large crowds at rallies across the state in recent days. Many of those drawn to his appearances say they are independent voters. Typically, independent voters don't turn out in special elections, such as today's, so his campaign has been calling independents who vote on a regular basis. For NPR News, I'm Fred Tice in Boston.
The White House says President Obama will give his first State of the Union address a week from tomorrow. The president will address a joint session of Congress at 9 p.m. next Wednesday. The administration waited to set the date, hoping that a health care bill would be completed in time for the address, but that remains uncertain. The U.S. food company Kraft says the board of the British candy maker Cadbury has agreed to a takeover and is recommending that shareholders approve it. Kraft has offered nearly more than $19 billion, and that's much more than the original offer that Cadbury had rejected. Stocks are down overseas today. This is NPR News. Japan Airlines has filed for bankruptcy protection in one of Japan's biggest corporate failures ever. JAL plans a restructuring, including layoffs of thousands of people. It's more than $25 billion in debt. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Beijing.
The state-owned carrier filed for bankruptcy at a Tokyo district court Tuesday afternoon, and its board voted to resign en masse. JAL is still Asia's largest airline by revenues, but its market value has plummeted by 90% to a value of $150 million or less than the cost of a new jumbo jet. Japan's government has bailed out JAL three times in the last decade. Now a state-owned restructuring company will take full control of JAL. The company will continue to operate but will lay off a third of its workforce, cut unprofitable routes, and liquidate around half of its subsidiaries. The restructuring company will seek approval for its plan from creditors and labor unions on Wednesday. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Beijing.
The Washington Post reports the FBI violated the law during the Bush administration years by collecting thousands of telephone records without justification, even under new anti-terrorism laws. The newspaper cites internal memos and interviews. It says the FBI persuaded phone companies to give it information and backed its requests, claiming terrorism emergencies that did not actually exist. The Justice Department Inspector General is to release a report on the issue this month. The FBI's general counsel told the Post that the FBI director didn't know about the requests for telephone records until after the Inspector General had started investigating. I'm Paul Brown, and this is NPR News from Washington.